From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carl Castle. Senate Democrats have overcome the hardest hurdle yet for their health overhaul bill, putting the measure on course for passage by Christmas. NPR's Julie Rovner reports.
It was just after 1 a.m. when Democrats proved they had the 60 votes they needed to end debate on the final amendment to the bill, the 383-page catch-all proposed by Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. Republicans complained bitterly that the final holdout Democrats had sold their votes to get favors for their home states. But at this point, Republicans can do no more than complain and delay a final vote on the measure until Christmas Eve. Senate passage, however, while historic, does not guarantee ultimate success. The House and Senate bills are very different, but neither will have passed with a single vote to spare. That will leave negotiators very little room to put together a final compromise measure. Julie Rovner, NPR News.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen, says military force would have only limited effect in stopping Iran from developing nuclear weapons, but he said it must remain an option. Mullen told his staff he believes political means are best at achieving regional security. He said that Tehran shows no signs of backing down over what the United States and other countries say is its drive for a nuclear bomb. Iran says its nuclear program is aimed at developing nuclear energy. Mullen also writes that Iran's unrest, unpredictable leadership, and sponsor of terrorism make it a regional and global concern. His views were contained in an annual assessment of the nation's risks and priorities. Executives of jet engine maker Pratt & Whitney go to court this week to defend their decision to close two Connecticut facilities with the loss of more than 1,000 jobs. From member station WNPR, Harriet Jones reports.
The court battle has been forced by the International Association of Machinists, the union representing the workers at the repair plants who face losing their livelihoods. Pratt claims the plants are too expensive and that it can do the work as much as 40% cheaper in Georgia and Singapore. But there's a clause in the workers' contract saying the company must make every reasonable effort to keep work in Connecticut. The union claims that hasn't been done and has asked a federal court judge to rule against the company. It's a strategy that's worked before. The same judge in 2000 did order the company to reverse a closure because of the clause. It's possible that Louis Chenevert, the CEO of Pratt's parent company, United Technologies, could be called to testify as the hearing gets underway. For NPR News, I'm Harriet Jones in Hartford.
On Wall Street, stocks are rising in early trading following gains in overseas markets. At this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up by 105 points to 10,434. The Nasdaq is up 22 points to 2234. This is NPR News. The sign stolen from the front gate of the Auschwitz concentration camp has been found and the suspected thieves detained. Polish police say the perpetrators do not appear to have neo-Nazi links. Terry Schultz reports.
Five men have been taken into custody in northern Poland after the infamous metal sign, translated from German as "Work sets you free," was found in a forest cut into three pieces. Polish police say early indications show the suspects were not motivated by ideology, but by the potential for profit, possibly by selling the three pieces, each containing one of the words. The Friday morning theft sparked international outrage, as Auschwitz is where more than a million people were killed by the Nazis. The museum, now in its place, has issued a statement thanking the Polish police for finding what it calls this most important symbol of the 20th century. It says a replica sign will remain above the camp's gate until the original is restored and better secured. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz.
East Coast airports are slowly getting back to normal with minimal flight delays. The situation has been helped in part by the cancellation of hundreds of flights after the major snowstorm. By 11 p.m. Eastern Time last night, the Federal Aviation Administration was reporting that the average flight delay at East Coast airports was less than 15 minutes. Still, thousands of travelers needed to find new ways home after the flights were canceled. Philadelphia International Airport was shut down Saturday night but reopened early yesterday. The Transportation Department is ordering airlines to let passengers stuck in stranded airplanes to deplane after 3 hours. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood on Monday announced a 3-hour limit and other passenger protections long sought by consumer advocates. I'm Carl Castle, NPR News. In Washington.